was a great presentation you made in there.
Do you know, I put together that entire project, including the presentation slides, just this morning.
Had your whole department working on it, huh?
No, I used my new Lisa personal computer.
A personal computer did all of that?
That's right.
Incredible.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah, and if that information right there isn't enough to make you tune out, I'm also joined by Leander the Caney and Buster the Hine. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Arifon.
I think we just lost half our audience. Now they know who's going to be on this show. But you should not tune out.
We have a surprise guest, don't we, later on?
What's that?
Surprise guest.
Do we have a surprise guest?
No, I just said that.
Just we're going to have Tim Cook on at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. You'll be joined by Johnny Ive. And, Steve Jobs will be here, too. So stay tuned
to Steve
the end of the
Jobs,
show.
Yeah. We've got a medium.
But
we're going to do a seance.
We're going to do a seance for the ghost of Steve Jobs. We do actually have a lot of great stuff to talk about. Hot off the press, some iWatch news to discuss. And I thought we'd do some chat about some apps that have come out or have been updated this week. And then at the end of the show, we're going to do something that I thought would be fun. So we're going to talk about the items that live in our menu bars. You know that little menu bar at the top of your screen? You only have a limited amount of real estate up there. And I was curious what you guys have deemed important enough to keep in your menu bar. I know I've got a bunch of stuff crammed in mine. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Before we jump into it, I want to thank our sponsor, Smile Software, for supporting this episode. Now, you might think I'm about to talk about Text Expander because I love it. But actually, did you know Smile Software has a bunch of other great software that they make? One of my personal favorites is PDF Pen. And it does what you think it probably does. It edits PDFs. It's available on both the Mac and on iOS. In fact, PDF Pen for iPad is fan-frickin-tastic. It lets you edit PDFs anywhere, and it supports popular Bluetooth styluses. So if you want to use like a Jot Touch or a Pogo Connect or something, or like some type of Bluetooth stylus, you can use those to sign your documents, to make edits of documents. Very powerful PDF editor. If you want to check it out, head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. You can read more about it, download it. I want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. Okay, guys, hot off the press. And this is hot. Hot off the press. This just came out. So, Buster, it looks like Recode just announced that the iWatch, the long-rumored iWatch, mystical as a unicorn dancing on a rainbow. That's how mystical this thing is. It's going to debut on September 9th along with the iPhone 6. Isn't Recode confirming this pretty much this is going to happen?
Yeah, they were the ones that said it was going to come out in October first, and now they say it's going to come out at the same time as the iPhone 6.
Do you think Apple PR just contacts them and just is like, hey?
Just heads up. You guys need some traffic today? Because I got a scoop for you. I think that's how it goes.
Hello, this is Recode. This is Jim Rook. I want to tell you about an iWatch leak. It's happening. Who is this? Bye. Click.
They don't get this from Apple PR. There's no way.
You don't think so, Leander? I thought some of these organizations had like direct links to.
Well, they do, but I mean, they're pretty well sourced as well inside of Apple, besides just the PR department.
This is exciting. So not only are we going to see a iPhone 6 come September 9th, but also the iWatch. I also thought it was interesting today. I got an email, actually several emails from some companies that are releasing headbuds or earbuds that will take your pulse when you wear them.
Oh,
this
really?
Is something we talked about forever ago. It was rumored
EarPods rumor, right?
Yes, the EarPods rumor. So that you would wear these and they would actually keep track of your pulse while you worked out and stuff. So I thought it was very curious that these emails came in today with the iPhone 6 about to be released, because it makes me think, oh, maybe this is a feature that we'll actually see, which would be really awesome. I mean, do you guys work out with your earbuds in?
I do, and I hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
it's better than wearing one of those like heartbeat monitors.
Well, yeah, okay, it would be for heartbeats. Yeah, it would be interesting. But I just mine are always like they always like short out and stuff like that when I go jogging with them.
Dang, you must sweat a lot.
Oh, I sweat like I've a had beast. This. Have you seen how hairy I am?
Yeah, you need to get some more like ear hair though, so it keeps the sweat out of those things. I've had the same. I swear, I have like my iPod One headphones, and they still work.
Huh.
Oh.
I must. I mean, I perspire.
They were pretty solid though.
I think I'm lying. I don't think I still have them, but I have my like, you know, iPhone headphones from like 4 years ago and they still work great, even though I put them through the washer like 6 times. So they could go through the washing machine, which is actually full of water, but not through Buster's ears.
It's because I got too much nasty water. Funk in my sweat, man.
I'm excited for the iPhone 6. You guys, I'm assuming you guys are all going to buy it.
Nah, I'm going to skip this one.
Probably. No, you're not, yeah. Leander. Leander's waiting for them to reach to release the eye headband. That's more his style.
Eye headband?
Yeah. Has a screen on the forehead, but it's like, you know, very plush cotton, so absorbs your perspiration.
And it has, yeah, like a little toupee built into the top of it, right? It sounds like you do like a spiky haircut.
Oh, the eye pay. It reads your internal body temperature. You can use your iPhone to adjust the length. So right. If you are going to like a classy event, you can make it longer and slick it back.
Right. And there's a mullet option too.
The eye mullet. Along the lines of juicy rumors, man, I think we probably got the best iPhone 6 rumor or a leak, I should say, that we've ever seen. Buster, would you agree with me?
Definitely the meatiest iPhone 6 leak.
So, for sure the meatiest. I mean, there was some real meat in this rumor. I couldn't believe it. So, this guy got his hands... I don't know how he accomplished this. This guy got his hands on the iPhone 6 way ahead of time, and he posted a YouTube video.
Knock, knock. Who's there? It's your boy Doldo411. Today, we got an exclusive first look at the brand new iPhone 6.
And he does, like, a teardown... He compares it to like the current iPhone, and I gotta say this thing looks amazing.
Oh, very svelte.
Yeah,
you know.
I was surprised that it was a little bit thicker though than we anticipated.
Slightly plumper, yeah, but you know, a little bit more flexible.
I heard it
plump, as well.
I heard it plumps when it gets hot too.
Yeah, too, yeah, just as a warning.
And the case, he had a case as well, and the case was, I mean, this is
super
this
light.
Is Apple at its best, I think.
Yeah. Very think, minimalist. Buster?
Very, very minimalist.
It was like a wood grain gradient paneling or something like that.
But it
that.
Was very well padded.
Yeah.
And I liked how you could open it up from the side and put the iPhone in there.
Uh-huh.
That was a really slick design, I thought.
I had to break up the little in-joke party, but what are you guys talking about?
You didn't see the video that leaked this week? Or
no.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so if you haven't seen it, we're going to post a link in the actual show notes, and it will take you to the video so you can watch it. If you haven't seen it, absolutely go check it out, because I'm telling you, this is what is going to be announced on September 9th. I mean, here it is. And I'm super excited. And this guy does like a full review of it. Like I said, he even takes it apart and shows you the inside and stuff. So definitely go check that out. All right. Let's talk about some apps. Buster, I noticed apps. That you sent me $5 yesterday.
Oh, shoot. I did. Yeah.
Thanks, it was a total thanks for accident. That, by the way, sucker. You think you're getting one returned. It's not going to happen.
It's okay.
So,
I got free sign-up money.
We got an update to an app called Square Cash this week. And if you're not familiar with Square Cash, it's a free application that you can download. It comes from the company Square, who has like the Square card reader. And actually, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I think Square Cash is awesome. Buster, have you used it before, or was that your first time yesterday?
That was my first time, and it was just super simple.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so easy to use. I really did, like, you know, it was super easy. I sent people money on accident. It's so easy.
So wait a second. Did you send me that money on accident?
Slightly, maybe.
I was wondering why I got a payment for $5 from you. I was like, why is Buster sending me money in the middle of the day?
Well, I was testing it, yeah.
So
why is it easier than PayPal?
It's way easier than PayPal.
I mean, you seriously just open up the app, hit the amount of money you know you want on the front first screen, select the person, and then it sends it to them. Just super easy, very like minimal, clean UI.
Very minimal. And it, the way it works is once you link your debit card to it and your friend links their debit card to it, you can send money back and forth. And the best part is there are no fees. It's absolutely free.
Yeah.
So it only does bank transfers, so you can't use credit cards. But, you know, like with PayPal, Leander, they always ask you your intention. Like, why are you sending this money? And if you're not sending it to, like, a friend or family member, then they want a cut of it.
Yeah.
And Square doesn't take a cut of it as long as it's just, you know, cash going back and forth.
Bank to bank. Yeah, I hate PayPal and I've hated them for a long time, but, you know, I'm stuck with them.
I think they're in big trouble with Square.
Yeah, I think Square, everything they do, it's usually just like a cut above, so much easier. I heard they lose 25 cents per transaction with Square Cash, but they just don't care. Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
because, you know, they have to move that money, so it does cost them something, but they're not charging users.
Well, we should also talk about the updates to this version of Square Cash. So what were the big updates to this, Buster? I see, you can use a friend's phone number to send money now and or email address. That's new.
You can request money from, like, 25 people at one time. There's, like, an activity feed, and you get push notifications when your money's ready from, you know, all your deadbeat friends.
The other thing I like about Square is it's instantaneous. So if you send someone a payment, you get the payment right away, as long as you're with a bank that's, you know, keeping their systems updated. Like, I think Bank of America takes like a couple days, but like my credit union is like instantaneous. As soon as you send me the money, it shows up there immediately.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for an app that sends money easily to your friends and family, I mean, Square Cash is a great, great option. And as we said, it's free. The only thing I wish they would allow you to do is add multiple debit cards. So right now, you can only really use one account for sending and receiving money.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool, like, if I could have, like, several debit cards, you know, set up. So, like, if you need to make a business payment, you can use it for that. If you need to make a personal payment, you could use it for that. That's the only thing I would add to it. Leander, you should download Square Cash. Give it a try.
I did, yeah. I got a link from Buster yesterday.
Send me some money.
They give me $1 too, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to send you anything. Yeah, I got to send you some money, yeah. Maybe we could use Square Cash. So I think it's better than PayPal in that there are no fees and stuff.
But
so
they just raised a bunch of money too as well. They just plus there was all that speculation. They put out the, don't worry about us, we're doing great kind of blog post, right, which caused a lot of attention.
Square? What are you talking about?
Square put out a blog post, I think it was like a couple of weeks ago. It was like 10 reasons why Square isn't as much trouble as people are saying it is. And then it had all these kind of strange, it was like an SEC disclosure notice, like all these different things that they're worried about that they really aren't worried about.
Huh.
So there was a lot of speculation that Square was like in trouble. But then they just raised a bunch of cash.
That was probably PayPal PR.
Yeah.
orchestrating it like a PR attack on them because they're in such danger of losing business to Square. I find that people are hesitant to adopt Square, you know, when it comes to sending money to other people and they have to like download an app and sign up. Like, people are generally hesitant to do it. But once we all get on this kind of platform, it makes it so much easier to do because, you know, sending money is a huge pain in the ass. If you need to send someone money, I mean, it's 2014. It's still so painful to do. I mean, Leander, you and I were just talking about this the other day. It's like, hey, should we do PayPal? Should we do bank transfer? It's always a giant pain. Do you guys primarily use PayPal as of now? Leander, what do you use?
Yeah, PayPal.
Use PayPal. Isn't it painful, though, when you get like $1,000 from PayPal or PainPal? Hey, that's a Freudian slip right there.
Right.
And they take like $40 of it.
Oh, I've had them take hundreds of dollars before in transfers, which I didn't even really know about because I didn't look at the thing properly.
Mm-hmm. Pain
because it's never very clear who pays the fee, I always thought.
It's always the receiver.
Okay, so then I've had to reimburse people I've sent, you know, money to abroad. Because I was doing all the payroll for all the, you know, the foreign contractors using PayPal.
And the foreign stuff is even worse because their fee is higher than foreign stuff.
Yeah, right.
So the receiver is always the one that gets it.
Hey, you're totally breaking up, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a fuzz fest.
All right, sorry, guys. We're back. Looks like a freaking Time Machine. Time Machine really needs a feature where you can be like, pause it for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 20 minutes.
Can't you just turn it off? Wouldn't that do it?
I thought that deleted your backup when you turn it off.
Oh, maybe.
That can't be true.
That can't be true. Try it. Let us know.
I don't have Time Machine.
So my Time Machine came on and started hogging all the bandwidth. And this is a problem every time we record the show because you can't turn it off. And Time Machine does what it wants.
You still
Time Machine.
Bad, man.
I do what I want.
Yeah, you can turn it off. I just turned it off. Go to system preferences and turn it off.
I don't believe your lies. Let's try this. Open time machine preferences. Turn it off. Hey, look at that. It turned off. Wait, why does it say backup deletion in process?
plus all your files.
It's counting down from 60, Leander. What's going on?
No. The mysteries of the Macintosh.
Okay. Well, let's continue. Let's talk about another cool app.
Sounds even worse now.
Does it? So does that improve the audio quality any?
Yeah,
check.
Better.
Yeah, I think you're better.
Dude, I wonder if Comcast is throttling me because of all the crap I talk about on this show.
Probably.
And like they found me and they're like, we're going to make this guy's life a living hell.
Well, they heard you talking about it in the pre-show and they're worried you're going to talk about it in the real show.
Or like sitting outside of my house in a van connected
to
my...
They didn't do that. They listen to everything you say anyway.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, right. They're sitting there with the NSA taking notes.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's better now?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's talk about another new app that came out this week that I played around with. I thought it was really fun. Buster, it's called Hyperlapse.
Brought to you by the people from Instagram is a new app called Hyperlapse, an app that lets users make incredible time-lapse videos really easily.
Hyperlapse?
It sounds like something that Elon Musk created, but it's not.
It does.
Wait, that was the Hyperloop.
Elon Musk basically says that this is the way of the future. He is either a visionary or he's barking mad.
Yeah, I totally accidentally Googled Hyperloop when looking for Hyperlapse
videos.
Did you?
You're like,
today.
This is amazing. Wow. So you've played around with it. What does it do?
It basically helps you do time-lapse videos and then post them to Instagram so they look all cool.
But here's the thing. Okay, so you could post them to Instagram, but aren't there a lot of other apps out there that do time-lapse video? Why is this one getting so much buzz?
Yeah, even Apple added it in the iOS 8, so it'll be in the default camera app. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a pretty good app as far as it gives you a little bit better control because you can control the playback speed. You can't do that in iOS 8. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pretty simple user interface. Plus, it's Instagram, you know, so I think it just has that brand appeal also.
Wasn't part of the hype also it like balances out your shakiness, so it creates a really smooth video?
Right. Even if you're not doing like a time-lapse video, it's a nice app to shoot with if you're doing like sports photography or anything because they have some crazy stabilization technology algorithm that they have for it.
Hmm. I played around with it too. It was really fun. And we've been seeing these videos like nonstop for like the last 48 hours.
Yeah.
My question to you, is this going to be the oldest of hats after like next week? Is everyone going to be like, oh my gosh, not another Hyperlapse video?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think there'll be like a big jump in everybody doing Hyperlapse videos for the next few weeks, but then it'll probably die back down. You know.
So you don't think this is going to turn into like Vine?
Well, Vine actually has gotten pretty good, right? Because the only Vines you see now are the ones that people want to share.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
So it has this kind of filtering mechanism. So they tend to be pretty good.
Yeah, Vine's awesome. I'm actually surprised that it turned into this actual viable social network. My guess is that that's kind of what Instagram is going to be trying to do with, you know, Hyperlapse, at least as far as putting that stuff into the Instagram feed. I do think it's a little strange that they decided to make their own app to do this, because this seems like something that they could have just added into Instagram. Don't you think, Buster?
Yeah, they definitely could have. I think you probably would get more people using it with as a standalone app because of rather than just tucking it away inside Instagram somewhere, you know, where no one's gonna see it.
Yeah, I guess Instagram app is already pretty crowded too. It does a lot of stuff,
and I mean there's not too much you can do outside of it other than after you're done with the video, upload it to Instagram or Facebook and that's it. So it's pretty much tied right into the app.
Well, it's certainly much buzzed. If you haven't tried it out, it's free. You can download it on the App Store. It's called Hyperlapse. And it's really well made. The only thing I wish they would add, and maybe I just missed this, Buster, you can tell me, is there any way to use the front-facing camera?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think there is.
Is that not an option to toggle it?
I don't think so. I was trying to make one yesterday of me walking down the street, like, making kissy
faces.
Oh,
that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, were you being seriously, Ender?
No. I know exactly what you mean. So you got your face there, and you're looking all goofy and smiling.
Yeah,
it'd
yeah.
be fun, yeah.
The, you know,
yeah, I see what you're saying. You can't switch it.
No, there's no way to do it. And it's actually kind of tough to do it from the front or the front-facing camera because you have to hit record and then flip the camera around. The button's really small. And if you hit another place on the screen, it actually adjusts for lighting, you know? So, like, it could be too dark or too bright. Anyway, Hyperlapse on the App Store. Check it out yourself. Let's move on to, I don't understand why, but let's talk about supersized 12.9 inch iPads, Buster.
Super iPads? You don't want them?
I, you guys know that my life motto is the bigger the better. I like to go big and then go home. But I really don't know if I would want a 12.9 inch iPad. According to Bloomberg, Apple is working on one, and they are planning on having a release in early 2015. This has been something that the Wall Street Journal has mentioned before. Digitimes has talked about this before. So it kind of seems like we have enough smoke here that we may actually end up seeing this product. And people have also said that, you know, tablet sales are on the decline. So maybe Apple needs to like spruce up their offering. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Would you guys want a 12.9 inch iPad? It just seems excessive to me.
Yeah, I feel like it's not big enough. You know, if you're going to go big, let's go bigger. Let's go 30 inches, man.
Right.
Yeah. How would you carry that in your arms? I mean, you'd have to be.
I wouldn't, but
you'd have to be Joe Rogan.
Yeah, or you just slap it on a TV with or on a wall with double-sided tape and use it as a flat screen, you know?
Right.
Leander, do you want a 12.9-inch iPad?
Yeah, I think I would go for it, yeah. You know, you know what it's going to be good for is multitasking. When you got a couple of windows from different apps open, that's why I think they're doing it.
So that you can do two things at one time easily?
Yeah, right. It's and iOS is going to look, you know, it's getting much more sophisticated. So, you know, this is going to make it into like a real laptop replacement, I think, with all the new capabilities in iOS, like multitask, true multitasking.
Actually, you know, now that I hear you describe it that way, and now actually I'm kind of interested in it too, because I was visualizing. So you'd have this thing sitting in your lap, right? And you could split it up into different sections. So you'd have like a YouTube video in one, maybe a browser in another.
Right.
Maybe, you know, some recipes. I don't know. In the other, your recipes that you're really into. Yeah. You know, for your pot brownies, Leander. And in which case, that actually could be pretty cool.
Right, exactly. I think it's going to be great, yeah. But I'm with Buster too, though. You know, 13 inches is... I don't know. You know, it'd be nice to go bigger as well, but that's going to come as well for sure.
So now I feel stupid. Like 12.9 is actually too small.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to have a 17 inch one.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think Buster's 30 inch iPad is actually not a bad idea. It would probably, by the time we get to that kind of like level of technology, it probably only weigh like 2 pounds.
Oh yeah. It'll be like a flexible display and everything too. It'll be super.
Let's wrap up on the 12.9 inch iPad chat, unless you guys want to continue. Leander, anything else to say?
No, except
yes,
that was it. It's gonna be awesome. I think the 12.9 one is gonna be the new, you know, just like the 5.5 inch is gonna be the new sort of standard. I think, you know, the new the hottest size for the iPhone. I think the same thing is gonna happen with the iPad.
I think it'll be big for people who want to get like work done on the iPad and feel like they have a laptop, you know, like I think it'll be huge for people who want to put a keyboard case on it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it'll appeal as widely as like the regular iPad Air does.
I think you're right. And actually, to Leander's point, Apple is moving into enterprise, right? So they're going to start, you know, needing to better consider the needs of businesses who are going to be using these things and applications that maybe consumers wouldn't be.
Right.
So maybe that's part of their motivation as well.
Yeah, it could be the iPad Pro.
The iPad Pro. There you go. Okay, let's talk about Tim Cook real fast. You guys know I love Tim Cook. And Leander, I'm actually curious to hear your thoughts on this. So a report card has come out for Tim Cook, and he's gotten a solid B for running Apple.
A big.
B for not bad. I think he's been doing a great job, but having written the book on Steve Jobs, Leander, I'm curious... Do you think the new directions he's taking Apple as far as products, that this new kind of feel of openness that Apple has, what do you think about the direction he's taken the company?
It looks great. It looks absolutely fantastic. I think, you know, a B is crazy. I mean, this is a job that would make anyone flip inside out with anxiety.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Especially following Steve Jobs.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Putting on Steve Jobs is, you know, putting yourself in his shoes and having to take over the company, and incredibly difficult. The only thing, of course, it's an open question, right? Because they haven't branched out into any of these new product categories. Mm-hmm. And until that happens, no one's going to give him. No one's going to say he's done a stellar job, because this is going to be the biggest test, you know, for Apple, for him, and for Apple going forward. Is what, can they break into, you know, and open up entirely new businesses? If they do launch an iWatch and these new iPhone 6s.
What do you mean if? We just talked about this.
Yeah.
Don't you listen to the show even while we're recording it, Leander?
Yeah, we do. But, you know, I'm not 100% convinced. I mean, there's been absolutely no leaks. Anyway, we'll see. We'll
yeah,
see.
It seems very likely, but I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm hoping. So far, everything that he's done has been almost pitch perfect, really.
I totally agree with you. As far as following in the footsteps of one of the most iconic CEOs ever, I think he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
And he seems to be a bang-up guy, too. Like, I'd want to have a cup of tea with him.
Yeah.
That's got to count for something.
His only weakness, really, is public presentations. Is that, you know, the keynotes that he's done, which have been a bit wooden.
Yeah. Good word.
And everything else, I mean, he's diffused all this, you know, he's diffused all these crises in China, mm-hmm. although that seems to be flaring up again.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the campaigns they've been getting behind charity, matching corporate donations to charities, and also being quite active in equal rights, mm-hmm. Being inclusive and speaking out about that kind of stuff. I like that. I think that's really good. I think they should really, you know, it's something I really applaud.
About Apple's openness, I mean, you're right. They're involved in all these things, such as, you know, political stuff. They seem to be more open to the press. And that's definitely a different direction for Apple previously. And sometimes I wonder if that's going to hurt them, because by being so exclusive, it allowed them to kind of maintain this, like, really cool reputation because they're so secretive. And do you think that being more open is going to affect people's interpretation of them?
Well, they're not open about their products or their product plans.
Mm-hmm. And of course, yeah, they not intentionally. Yeah. Here we are talking about the iWatch and all the products they're going to release.
Right, but no one. No one knows what it looks like, what it does.
That is true. We have not seen a single iWatch leak.
No, and you know the leaks today were saying it was going to be tightly integrated with iHome.
Right.
Which is the first stuff I've heard about that. I mean, I hadn't heard about it, you know, it being a controller for your house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, of course, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because it'll know whether you're home or not, and
right.
whether you're up and about and whether you're active. You know, so that does make a lot of sense. But no one's talked about that. Yeah, no, they don't. No one knows anything at all about their product plans. But this sort of so-called openness, it means, you know, they're just becoming a little less insular. I've been talking to a guy that was with Apple for years, and he was complaining how insular it was. You know, like, he worked there for more than a decade, and mm-hmm. you know, he never got out, he never socialized with anybody, he never talked to any other companies.
And by never got out, they locked him in the Apple office. He literally never left.
I think more or less that's exactly what it was.
Wow.
He said he was surprised. He didn't even know what other companies were out there and, you know, what was really going on in Silicon Valley at the moment. I was really flabbergasted. I was like, you're kidding me. But wow. It's that insular.
Huh. It would be like working for the NSA. No one, you would never be able to tell anyone what you did or what you were working on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, when we went for the visit, we went for lunch down at Apple HQ a few weeks ago. You know, I mean, it didn't seem that insular. There was a lot of outsiders there. There was a lot of kids, people obviously bringing their families in. There was a lot of outside. There was a couple of groups of people that, you know, they all had name badges and they were getting a tour around, you know, foreign visiting parties. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not that insular.
Yeah, but Leander, that was all staged for you. Those were all extras. They hired hundreds of extras to stage, you know, like this happy environment, when actually the real employees were all like, they're all pale and locked in the dungeon to their computers.
yeah. Right. So as soon as I got like, okay, all right.
Okay. Paid everyone their $25 and let them go home.
It was very effective. I was totally convinced.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Tim Cook's doing a great job. I was surprised to see that he got a B2. Such a nice guy. I really do like that about him, is he's bringing kind of like a nice face to Apple. It's like Steve Jobs would strangle you. Tim Cook, he'll put his arm around you and tell you how it is, but then he'll, you know,
shank you in the back.
And then he'll get up behind you and get you in a chokehold and whisper in your ear as you slowly drop to the ground.
Right. But he'd be smiling the whole time. And going,
just like this. You're right. Just let it go, y'all.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey, before we hop into our what we use in our menu bars. I do want to thank our sponsor, Smile Software, for supporting this episode. So you guys know I'm an important man, and I'm always having to sign stuff and review PDFs. And if you are working with a lot of PDFs, I want to encourage you to give PDF Pen for both Mac OS, for both OS 10 and for iPad a shot. They make it really easy to edit PDFs. You can move stuff around. You can make tweaks. And as I mentioned earlier, you can actually use a stylus. I actually have a Bluetooth stylus. I don't use it for many purposes other than just like signing my name on PDFs. But you know what a hassle it is when you have to sign a document and you got to print it out and then sign it and return it. And I know a lot of people these days are paperless. So PDF Pen helps you have a paperless office so you can sign stuff digitally, work on stuff digitally. You'll never have to print anything out. It also syncs via iCloud. It also syncs via Dropbox. You can retrieve and save PDFs via Dropbox, via Evernote, Google Drive, Box, Alfresco, Transporter, FTP. I mean, it integrates with all these different services that you use. I personally use Evernote for everything, so it's really handy for that. Really powerful PDF editing on your mobile device, and it's great for paperless workflows, as I mentioned. Give it a shot. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast, and when you get there, you can read a lot more information about it. And give it a download, give it a try. Smile Software makes great software. I mean, everything they make is really top tier. I mentioned Text Expander a ton before. It's really excellent. And PDF Pen is definitely right up there. It's just one of those must-have apps if you're working on PDFs that you'll use day in and day out. And it will really make your life easier. I want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. Smilesoftware.com/cultcast. You know, guys, before we move on to our what we use in our menu bars discussion, I thought we could do something a little fun. So we've been asking for people's feedback, and we got some great messages from some listeners. And I want to thank everyone who sent your messages in. We always appreciate when you guys interact with us and give us stuff to talk about. And I thought this was cool. I want to read you this, Leander. Eric Johnson wrote in about our conversation last week, and you ended up talking about Ferguson, and he said, "I've been enjoying the show. Maybe that's too strong of a word. JK. Good one, Eric. Listening to the show and reading Cult of Mac for about 3 years, and I recently heard Leander mention Ferguson and how he wished President Obama would say something more poignant. Do you remember this discussion, Leander?
Yeah.
Is it ringing a bell? He said, I could not agree more. I'm a close resident 2 blocks away from Ground Zero. And I must say thank you to Leander for being one of the few in tech to publicly recognize what has happened here. It's an understatement. Or what President Obama said about the situation was an understatement, he says. Thanks for the show.
I've been actually quite pleased that quite a few people have been speaking out about mm-hmm. Ferguson. Some of the people I follow. I mean, you know, Gruber, John Gruber being one. Mm-hmm. Also Mark Arment. Mm-hmm. He was been getting a lot of flack, you know, because he's been tweeting about it a lot. He's been really vocal about it mm-hmm. in his Twitter feed. And he's been, you know, like people have been saying, he's got a lot of hate for it, which, mm-hmm. you know, I'm really, you know, disturbed by. In fact, I think there's been two different reactions to the whole thing, the situation in Ferguson. And, you know, one of the reactions I find really shameful. You know, from the white establishment, which I think is doing the best it can to, you know, demonize this kid and the situation there. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't want to get, I don't know how political I want to get because...
Yeah, well, you don't need to say any more if you don't want to, but...
Anyway, I think it's outrageous.
I know we always try not to get too political on this show, but every once in a while, you know, it's worth mentioning something that's happening in the world. It is nice to be able to talk about this kind of stuff every once in a while. I want to thank Eric Johnson for his feedback and for getting Leander to almost go off on a tangent. Because usually it's me, and generally it's about Comcast. And then I'm like, why did I just talk about that for 10 minutes? Oh, that's because I have no self-control. And one more comment. This one comes from DBG. Didn't leave a name. He says, congrats on the new site. I like the feedback section. Oh, by the way, if you want to leave us feedback, thecultcast.com/feedback. You can leave us any type of feedback you want. Leave your name, leave your Twitter handle, or don't. It's up to you. He says, you guys always talk about Steve Jobs in the next Aaron Sorkin movie. I was watching Andrew Garfield in Spider-Man 2. He looks a lot like Steve Jobs. He could be the one. Mm. What do you guys think? Buster? Do you know who Andrew Garfield is?
Yeah, I watched Spider-Man 2.
He's got great hair.
Super dreamy, great hair. Seems like a cool guy, but he's just crying in every movie, and I don't think Steve Jobs ever cried, man.
I think he could pull off a crying scene as Steve Jobs. Didn't Ashton Kutcher had a powerful one, remember?
Did he? I never watched Jobs.
Saw the Steve Jobs movie?
No, why? It would just be as bad as I imagined.
That's actually a valid point. But Leander, do you know who Andrew Garfield is?
Yeah, I do. He's a British guy. Yeah.
Is he British?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Plus, he was great in The Social Network, I thought.
Yeah, he was. I actually haven't seen any of the new Spider-Mans either, so I don't know how he's
doing. I haven't seen him either. I just saw some clips. So this must be pretty good. But Jobs is always bawling. He was constantly bawling his eyes out.
See, Buster?
What?
He might be perfect.
Yeah, the first time I saw the Think Different campaign, oh my God, it was like the Niagara Falls. There were tears were rolling down his face. When he got fired from Apple, I was talking to Jay, what's his face? I can't remember. The guy that was in the room with him and there was a showdown with him and John Scully. And
really?
Jobs bawling his eyes out. Yeah.
Really?
He kind of comes off to me as a very emotional person.
Emotional.
Like very, very abrasive, but you know, beneath that, very emotional.
Right. Oh, yeah. Very, very.
So there you go. Andrew Garfield might actually be a good pick, Buster. You're onto something there. You could just spend the whole movie crying. Thanks for the comment, DBG. I'd use your name, but you didn't give it to us. That's okay. If you want to remain anonymous, you don't want to let people know that you listen to our show. That makes sense. That makes total sense. I don't blame you. let's talk about the apps we use in our menu bars. So this is cool. I want to give a shout out to Zach Hamed on Medium.com. He wrote a fun piece on the history of the menu bar. And he says in his piece, as far as I can tell, the first menu bar app appeared in 2002 with Mac 10.2, codename Jaguar. I guess it wasn't a codename. That was the actual name. Apple had just released iChat, and as part of the iChat interface, you were able to change your status in the menu bar. I remember this. Remember being able to go up in your menu bar and be like leaving like a funny like away message like Airfan is fighting Steve Ballmer in the Coliseum, BRB. No one?
No. I didn't.
You must have used iChat, Leander.
iChat, yeah.
I mean, maybe you didn't actually use it. It was kind of available, but you didn't really chat with anyone online. No one wanted to talk to you. No, that's because you used to work at Wired around 2002. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but I don't remember iChat.
Huh? Yeah.
Like, you know, the preview. I hated the thing. I hated all the instant messages. I used to use... some of them.
Adium? Was it Adium?
Yeah.
That was the other popular one.
Yeah. Well, I hated that too, but...
You just hated that one less?
I had to use it, yeah.
All right. So anyway, the menu bar is that bar that lives at the top of your screen. It's where the file, edit, and view menus are. And then, you know, you can have a bunch of icons up there. And you know, your space is limited in the menu bar. So I think the things that you end up having up there are things that you must end up using a lot because, you know, they're granted the space. So, Buster, I know you said you had one or two picks. Leander, do you have anything up there?
Yeah, I got my phone.
Do you really?
A whole bunch. Yes. Most of them have no idea what they're doing.
It's just everything that's installed itself without Leander's knowledge is still living there.
I know. Well, so I just went and had a look, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what that's doing there? And I've never actually even looked at most of them.
Do you ever use any of them?
Well, yeah, I use the sound one.
Okay, so that's built in, the sound one, yeah.
I use the Wi-Fi one.
Yeah, I do too. I use the Wi-Fi one too.
And I use the AirPlay one, which is built in.
You mean if you option click, is it option click on the sound icon? It turns into where you can route. Right.
Yeah.
Nifty tip for all you guys out there. Yeah, the little speaker with little sound waves coming off it. If you option click it, you can select where you want the audio to go.
Oh, really?
Pro tip.
I use that all the time with like an AirPlay speakers.
Me too. So, exactly. Yeah. Me too. Buster, you got one that you have living up there?
I try and keep my menu bar clean because it reminds me of like the system task tray, you know, from Windows. But I have I have one day one, the journaling app. I put that in the top, the menu bar, so you can jot
and
down.
So you
like,
journal every day?
Dear diary, today I saw a boy.
I don't, but I put it in the menu bar, so hopefully that so I will remember to journal every day.
Okay,
never
do. Doesn't seem to be working. Yeah,
no.
Okay, what else you got up there?
And then I also put Dropbox up there, of course, and then Fantastical.
Yeah, okay. But Leander, you probably have Dropbox living up there too.
I do, but I never use it. Now, you know, the only time I ever want to, you know, I just use it to go to the site or whatever.
Oh,
I've
actually
Dropbox figured out how to use
the
menu bar.
I usually use it to open the Dropbox folder. That's generally how I use it.
That's Yeah, or look at anything like you recently added.
Yeah, since it has like all the stuff that's been recently moved around. So I use Dropbox up there. I have Backblaze up there, so for my backups and stuff. I have Time Machine, which is great when you need to suddenly turn it off because it's degrading the audio on your podcast. One I've talked about before, which I absolutely love, is iStat menus. So I have a bunch of little visual aids that show me what my CPU on my computer is doing, how much RAM is being used, what my bandwidth upload and download is currently, or how it's currently being utilized, like what my speeds are. And then I also have Mint living up there so I can keep track of my hundreds and hundreds of dollars and which bank accounts they're in. I've got iCal menus sitting up there too. I'm sorry, not iCal menus, Fantastical, which is the actual name of the product. But I find that I don't use it very often. Buster, do you actually use Fantastical to set schedules and stuff?
No, usually when I open it, I'm like, man, I need to remove that from the menu bar.
Well, did you guys know that you can, I think if you option click, was it option or control?
Uh-huh.
Or is it command click? I can't find the shortcut. I feel like a big jerk now. Do you guys know the shortcut to move those icons around?
I know two shortcuts.
Which ones are they, Leander?
Command C, Command V.
I know Command C and Command W, but Command W never actually pastes anything. I don't know why it's broken.
Actually, that's not true. I know a couple more.
Yeah, so you can move those around. I feel like a dunce now because I actually can't get it working. Although some of them you actually can't move around. So they're stuck in place. So maybe that's why. I'm sure I'm going to get like 100 tweets of people like telling me what the shortcut is. But you can move them around. I also have Cloud App, I think. So it's like a place where you can store images and stuff. But I never use it. So actually, I should probably get rid of it. Now I'm like, Leander, I'm looking at some of these things. I'm like, what the heck is this? Yeah. What is this? Cool.
It's
anything
easy to
else?
Get it junked up, isn't it? How many icons have you got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Oh, you need
some
spring
cleaning for sure. Well, I had iStat menus take over some of the icons for just like the standard default icons from the OS because some of them are more useful. For example, like the clock, when I click on it, I think the default Apple one just shows you digital time, analog time. You can make a selection on which one you want to see. But iStat menus actually shows you like a world calendar and your actual calendar and very, very useful to me. What the moon state is going to be like. So tonight's going to be a waxing crescent.
Ah,
so beautiful. I know I have...
So you know when to lock yourself in a cupboard.
And the new moon is coming September 23rd. So I know on that night, I'm definitely going to be locking all the doors and wearing loose fitting clothing. Oh, very wait, handy. No, September 8th actually is the full moon.
Oh, it is?
I think a new moon is actually totally dark. Anyway, do you guys have any more to add, or is that it? Is that all we got?
That's
about it.
Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there, then. Sound good?
Oh, okay.
You're like, oh, I don't care. You just go ahead. Wrap it up. I'm just going to sit here silently. All right, guys. Well, that's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. If you want to leave us some feedback, head on over to thecultcast.com/feedback, and you can tell us what you want us to talk about on the show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, please. That would be so much fun. I'm at Airfon Landers, L. Caney, Busters, BST3R, and of course, you're definitely, most certainly, going to be wanting to follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. There's so many products coming up. We're going to be covering them ad nauseum. So that's at Cult of Mac on Twitter. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, that one sounded a bit weird.
Yeah, it sounded very weird.
I think I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
<Yeah, right. laughs>
All right, well, let's do the show. We can definitely talk more about video, but it's a discussion worth having for sure.
I'm off the video.
Yeah. Well, you look really good, too. I mean, look at me and Buster. For us, we're more hesitant to do it. Because we don't have your classic British looks.
Yeah, so funny. Yeah, I think we should definitely do video.
Okay. I think the schlong idea on the green screen is also quality, but we could talk about that further. You guys haven't seen it in HD. It's pretty good. All right, here we go.
Did you see that show Naked and Afraid or whatever it is in the woods?
I'm just about to start. What?
Naked and Alone, it's called. Oh, Naked and Afraid.
Is my son on the Discovery Channel.
I don't watch those kind of movies, Leander. You let your son watch it?
It's not a movie. It's a Discovery, like Buster says, it's a Discovery show.
It's like they get all primal and shit.
Really?
Yeah. They put this couple in the woods.
Naked?
Yeah, totally naked. And very afraid. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Do they really?
Yeah, it was on the other night with the sound down, and I looked up, and there was this dude on it, and they pixelate out the. You know,
it was the pixelation like.
It was gigantic. Like I was like, come on, this is like, I can't. Either they're screwing around, or he has the biggest schlong ever on the both. Discovery Channel.
I've seen some pretty big ones each morning, and every morning.
Yeah. Actually, there was a dude at the gym yesterday that had oh my god.
Just a massive banana hammock?
It's huge. I thought it was a prosthetic. Didn't want to say anything. Oh, look too closely.
Is he going to be on Snakes on the Plane 3? It's just going to be him in the in coach? Him,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Where's Samuel L. Jackson? Oh, he's not in this movie.
No need.
Okay, let's get this shizzle on the rizzle.